Welcome to episode 42 of the 3M Fear podcast. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the two most terrifying horror movies, The Exorcist and The Omen. Now, these two movies are not just cinematic classics, but have also become the center of numerous unsettling stories, both on screen and off screen. So many incidents have happened while filming these movies that we have to ask this question: are these films truly cursed? In this episode, we'll explore the spooky and strange happenings that occurred on the sets of these two iconic horror movies. We'll also dig into whether these films are actually cursed. So, get ready for some eerie stories and the mysteries behind these legendary movies. And in the end, you let me know whether these films are actually cursed or was this all just a coincidence. Hello and welcome to the 3AM Fear podcast. I'm Nikita Ferrao, mystery and thriller author. On this podcast, I talk about real crimes and real people. Due to the graphic nature of some of this content, listener discretion is advised. You can find the episode show notes on my website 3amfear.com. Let's get started. I'm not going to tell you in detail about both the movies because if you haven't watched them yet, then I don't want to give out any spoilers. I'm basically just talking about what happened on the sets of these movies and what happened to the cast and crew. So I don't want to give out any spoilers, but I will definitely tell you in short about the movies. So if you haven't watched them yet, then please do watch them. And if you have already, then let me know what you think. The Exorcist. The story of The Exorcist revolves around the possession of a 12-year-old girl named Regan McNeil, played by Linda Blair, by a demonic entity. Her mother, Chris McNeil, played by Ellen Burstyn, becomes increasingly desperate as her daughter's behavior becomes more erratic and disturbing. Desperate for answers, Chris seeks the help of Father Damien, played by Jason Miller, a troubled priest who is struggling with his faith. Together with Father Lancaster, played by Max von Sydow, an experienced exorcist, they perform an exorcism to get rid of this evil entity that has taken control over Regan. Now, the film is known for its intense and disturbing scenes, as well as talking about faith, religion, and the battle between good and evil. The Exorcist is considered a classic in the horror genre and remains one of the most iconic and influential horror films in cinematic history. The film is based on real-life events. I mean, sort of. The Exorcist was inspired by William Peter Blatty's 1971 novel, which in turn got this idea from an actual case. Now, this case was a possession in 1949. This case was about a 13-year-old boy named Ronald Doe. His real name is not known till this date. The case takes place in Maryland. The boy experienced a personality change and showed physical symptoms like welts and mysterious writings on his body, which sparked rumors of possession. It all began after his aunt passed away. He started hearing these strange scratching sounds in the basement of his family's home. Soon, unexplainable events would happen, such as the mattress would violently move during the night, or ordinary household objects would start floating in the air. Even at school, his own desk would start moving. No one knew how this was happening. Concerned about everything that was happening around him, his family decided to ask help from a local priest. Now, it was during that time that the boy, known as Ronald Doe, spoke to this priest in Latin, saying, quote, "O priest of Christ, you know that I am the devil," end quote. This scary statement deepened the mystery around him. The boy was then taken to St. Louis, where a group of priests conducted weeks of exorcisms, much similar to like in the movie. Strangely, after these events, the boy was perfectly fine. He became a Catholic, he lived a devout life, got married, and even had 3 children. That's why I said, no one to this day knows who he is, because he lived a normal life. The exorcism changed his life. When writing the book, Blatty changed the character's gender from male to female. I'm assuming it's because the family wanted to keep this whole thing a secret, and that's why they begged the writer to not mention anything about the boy. We know it's a boy, but we don't know who the boy is. But just taking a story from a real-life incident is not all that makes this movie so scary. Just as the cast and crew began to prep for production, a fire broke out on the set of the McNeil home. A bird flew into the circuit box, causing the fire. Curiously, the only room in the entire house that was not touched by fire was Regan's room. The fire led to a 6-week delay in filming, and the director even considered having the set exorcised. After the fire that devastated most of the set, the production team had to rebuild it, getting the project back on track. During the first week of filming, Max von Sydow, who played the father in the movie, received heartbreaking news that his brother had passed away. He had to leave the set to attend his brother's funeral in Sweden. In a parallel turn of events, Linda Blair, the young actress behind Regan McNeil, also lost her grandfather, which again led to a delay in the filming process. With so many back-to-back incidents happening on the filming process, the film needed an exorcism. You won't believe what happened. A carpenter lost his thumb, a lightning technician lost a toe, and a fire destroyed a significant part of the set, as I said before. The director asked Reverend Thomas Birmingham, a Jesuit priest and technical advisor for the film, to perform an exorcism on the set. Although the priest declined, he later conducted a blessing for the cast and the set. When the movie was first shown in theaters in the Christmas of 1973, it shocked and disturbed the audience. Some theaters even handed out barf bags because the scenes were so graphic and intense that people needed to throw up. There were reports that people were fainting and some even needed immediate medical attention. Evangelist Billy Graham suggested that the film might be cursed. During filming, Ellen Burstyn, one of the actresses, was severely injured. When filming the scene where Regan was being haunted, her mother hurriedly approached to rescue her, but ultimately ended up getting pushed to the ground. The actress screamed in pain, but unfortunately, those screams were not her acting, but those screams were real. She had a rig around her midriff with a wire, and the stuntman was pulling her to make the scene look as realistic as possible. Now, this dedication led to her injury. As I said before, the director wanted the film to look as realistic as possible, which led to physically demanding shoots, especially for Ellen. Unfortunately, during the filming of the infamous crucifix scene, an accident happened. Ellen started screaming in pain. Everyone thought that she was just acting, but she had permanently injured her spine. The actress who played Regan, the possessed girl, who was then tied to the bed, also showed a scene where she was trying to pull herself away from the bed while she was still tied down. Now, when she was screaming, the director and everyone on the set thought that she was acting. But similar to her mother in the movie, she wasn't acting, and she too had a severe injury. Linda Blair, who played the possessed girl Regan McNeil, faced threats from strangers during the performance, and it was mainly because her acting was so on point that some people believed that she was actually possessed by Satan. Warner Bros. Had to provide her with bodyguards during the filming process to protect her from the public. While strapped into a harness for a scene, she experienced a terrifying accident which fractured her lower back. This injury led to a lifelong struggle with scoliosis, a condition that affects her spine. Basically, she broke her spine. There's a whole documentary about the filming process and how it was cursed, and this documentary is known as Fear of God. Now, in this documentary, the actress Blair talks about how intense the pain was. She was desperately crying out, saying, quote, "Make it stop. It hurts. It burns." End quote. Shockingly, no one listened to her plea because everyone thought that she was acting and that nothing was happening to her. By the time they realized that something was wrong and they had to save her, it was too late. Her spine was broken. Even more distressing to all this was that after everything happened, the director actually put the initial footage into the movie because he felt that this was more genuine and that it would show her genuine reaction. If you have watched the movie or if you haven't watched the movie and if you end up watching this scene, then know that the actress was not acting. This was her breaking her spine and crying out for them to stop. Another bizarre incident occurred when a woman sued Warner Bros. After watching the movie. She claimed that the movie was so horrific that she fainted and broke her jaw. Now, Warner Brothers settled this lawsuit outside of court to avoid any kind of negative publicity. So you can imagine the impact that this movie had on public. There is this popular scene that I spoke about where the actress Regan broke her spine. Now, when she was doing this scene, the voice that came out from her was of another girl. That is the possessed girl voice. This otherworldly, this scary voice was provided by another actress named Mercedes McCambridge. Now, to achieve this terrifying voice, this actress had to go through extreme lengths. She chain-smoked, drank whiskey, and even swallowed raw eggs. She needed her voice to sound that scary. Director William initially planned to keep her contribution as a secret. He wanted the audience to believe that it was the actress whose voice it was. But Mercedes fought for her right. She wanted her name to be there in the credits. And for this, she took legal action. In 1987, she faced a personal tragedy when her son committed crimes against his family before taking his own life. There's another horrific scene in the movie, which you may have seen in many others following The Exorcist. Ellen Burstyn was not the only one who showed real emotion on the sets. Jason Miller, who played Father Karras, had an authentic reaction, which made it into the final cut. Now, if you watch this movie, you would see this scene, which was filmed in just one take. In this film, the actress would have to vomit, and this vomit was meant to hit on the father's chest. But something unexpected happened. The plastic tube used to create this effect caused the vomit to spray all over his face and mouth. He was so disgusted that his reaction was genuine. And this reaction made it into the final movie. I can't imagine being in his place. But the worst tragedy of all was that this film was linked to 9 deaths. During its making, there were a couple of unforgettable deaths. Notably, 9 of them. Now, this raised a lot of suspicion. Now, people were not sure of whether these deaths were coincidence or is it because the film was cursed. Linda Blair, who portrayed Regan McNeil, lost her grandfather. Max von Sydow, known for his role as Father Merrin, received news of his brother's unexpected death on his very first day of shooting. During filming, Jason Miller's son, who played Father Damien, was involved in a nearly fatal motorcycle accident. So many more incidents have occurred. 2 actors in The Exorcist, Jack McGowran, who portrayed the movie director Burke Dennings, and Masaliki Maliaros, who played Father Karras' mother, had a chilling coincidence tied to their roles. Both of their characters died in the movie, and shockingly, both of them died in real life too, soon after the movie. None of this could be more scarier than the fact that there was a real life killer on the set. Paul Bateson, who appeared in The Exorcist, ended up being a convicted murderer. His victim was Addison Verrill, a journalist in the film industry. Paul served a 20-year sentence for his crime. What makes this story even more chilling is that Paul was a suspect in several other murders, particularly within the gay community of New York. Now, director William encountered Paul while doing research for his film and decided to cast him in a hospital scene. However, after the movie was made, a series of events led to him committing the murder. Although Paul was accused of many other crimes, he managed to evade them except for this one murder of Addison. The whole filming process took over a year. So it is very much possible that a lot of things could happen over a year's period of time. Accidents happen, people die, so many things could have happened. So was this just a coincidence or was the film actually cursed? I will let you make the decision. The Omen is a story about Richard and Catherine Thorne. When their own baby doesn't survive childbirth, Richard decides to adopt another child whose mother also died during childbirth. It seems like a good idea at that time. However, things started to take a dark turn because the child they adopted, named Damien, is actually the reincarnation of the Antichrist in the body of a young boy. As you can guess, this choice leads to a lot of death and misery for the family. That's how it goes when the devil is involved. The Omen has an unusual journey in the world of movie making. At first, Warner Brothers, the studio that released The Exorcist, thought that the two movies were too similar, and so they decided to keep The Omen on hold. But the director, Richard Donner, managed to move the project to 20th Century Fox, which at that time was going through its own rough patch with multiple box office flops. When Fox was struggling with so many films, they were losing so much money, The Omen seemed kind of like it was an okay idea. The film would either take off or would be one of the flop films that were already going out. The goal was to make everything in the film seem like it could actually happen, kind of like Final Destination. You know, those were a series of accidents, just in the worst way possible. The director, Donner, and screenwriter, David Seltzer, approached the film as if it was a series of strange and unfortunate events that could occur in real life. The idea was to create a sense of fear. The movie became so popular that it led to a whole franchise. This franchise included three sequels, a TV movie, a television show, and even a remake in the early 2000s. Today, the original Omen is considered an icon in the horror genre. However, while filming this movie, a lot of tragedies and challenges took place, both on the set and off the set. This led to many people believing that the movie was cursed. The idea for the movie didn't come from a famous producer, director, or screenwriter. Instead, it came from a man named Robert Bob Munger, who worked in advertising and was a born-again Christian. Bob was deeply interested in this idea, the concept of evil and Antichrist as described in the Bible. He thought that this idea could make a powerful story and also something that could make him a lot of money. And so he began pitching this concept to people in Hollywood. One of the producers, Harvey Bernhard, saw the potential in this idea. He realized that the concept of Satan was very popular at that time, and he agreed this movie could pitch in a lot of money. This marked the beginning of the journey of creating an iconic horror film, The Omen. Harvey was determined to make this movie a reality. He had big plans for the movie. He would soon find out that not everything would go on as planned. The man who originally came up with the idea, Bob, had a change of heart. He didn't want this movie to be made. He thought that making this movie could bring in pain and suffering to the life of others. He believed that if they made a movie about the devil, it could expose evil to millions of people. And he didn't want that. But despite several warnings, Bernard decided to go ahead with the movie. He was so convinced that the film was cursed that he started wearing a cross on the set to protect himself. But the feeling was not all that was. Actual horrific things started happening on and off the sets. Gregory Peck, who agreed to play the lead role, had not even started learning his lines in June of 1975 when his son Jonathan tragically took his own life. Gregory was devastated by the loss, and he was so committed to making the film that he saw it as a way of channeling his grief. Perhaps he thought that if he could throw himself into the role, get involved in making the movie, then he wouldn't think so much about his son. But there was a lot more to come. The troubles didn't stop with just Gregory Peck's son. People involved in making The Omen seemed to be plagued by a series of horrible events. John Richardson, the special effects designer responsible for creating all the terrifying, scary visuals in the movie, was considered a master of his craft. After working on the movie, he was working on another film about World War II called A Bridge Too Far. But it turned out that he couldn't escape the curse of The Omen. While he was working in Holland with his wife and another visual effects designer named Liz Moore, something terrible happened. They were driving on a quiet road when out of nowhere, this car crashed into them head-on. John Richardson was knocked unconscious. When he woke up, the first thing that he saw was a road sign that said Omen, which was one of the towns in the area. This town was 66.6 miles away. 666. That's a huge coincidence. But the most scariest thing of all was that one of the film's special effects workers, the man who designed the classic, The Beheading of Jennings, was later involved in a horrible car accident that actually beheaded his own wife. Another strange thing happened while making this movie. One of the film's scariest scenes involved a group of baboons attacking a car with the main characters inside the car. Now, to make this scene more scary, they used a live baboon in the car with the actors. Now, this scared Lee Remick, who played the mother in the film. Even though there was an animal trainer present there, she was still scared. But what was truly shocking was that after a few days of filming that scene, the animal trainer was killed while working with a tiger. Some people might think it was just a coincidence, but this was a very scary coincidence. There were more weird events related to the movie. Lightning sometimes struck several people involved in the film. Gregory Peck, the star of the movie, whom I mentioned before, whose son passed away, was on a plane to London when it was struck by lightning, causing an engine to catch fire. They had to make an emergency landing, and he narrowly avoided a crash into the ocean. Strangely, the same thing happened to the producer, Mace Newfield, who was on a plane to start the film's production. His plane was also hit by lightning and the engine exploded, almost causing a crash into the ocean. Even the screenwriter, David Seltzer, experienced lightning strike his plane as he flew across the Atlantic to start filming. And around the same time, producer Harvey Bernhard said that he almost got struck by lightning while standing in a field in Rome. It was all these series of unnatural incidents. If you put them together, it sounds like everything in this universe was against them making this film. In another unsettling incident, one of the movie's most memorable scenes involved a group of vicious dogs chasing Gregory Peck through a cemetery. This scene was filmed with a stuntman, but something went terribly wrong. The dogs suddenly became uncontrollably aggressive and started attacking the stuntman, tearing through his protective gear and even biting into his arms. One of the dogs went far as the man's neck, narrowly missing his jugular. The pack of dogs wouldn't obey the trainer and continued to attack the stuntman. Fortunately, he was able to escape and survive. These were not all. There were more close calls and even a brush with a terrorist organization. The Irish Liberation Army, commonly known as the IRA, was carrying out attacks all over London while this movie was being filmed. The producer Mace and his wife were staying at Hilton Hotel that was destroyed by an IRA bomb. Luckily, they weren't in the building at that time. But just a few days later, after finishing the filming process, the producers and Gregory Peck were planning to dine at a restaurant that had been blown up as well. It was a frightening close call. Everything that I mentioned so far just shows that anyone who was either in the filming process, connected to the filming process, or somewhere even close by to the filming process was being attacked in some way or the other. Now, towards the end of the production, the second unit needed to capture aerial footage for the film. They rented a small twin propeller plane for the task. However, their plane was disrupted when a rich Chinese businessman bought the plane right from under them. Their plans were cancelled, but this would later prove to be something good for them. Unfortunately, not for the Chinese businessman. The plane that later crashed tragically took the lives of everyone on board. But what makes this story even creepier was that the plane seemed to fall from the sky and landed on top of a car that coincidentally had some of the pilot's family members inside it. After his work on The Omen, stuntman Alf Joint went on to work on another film called A Bridge Too Far. He was tasked with jumping off a tall building and landing on top of an airbag, a stunt that he had done so many times that he was sure it would go right. But this time, just as he was about to jump, he said that he felt like someone was pushing him from back. Helplessly, he fell and missed the safety pad and landed on the ground. Fortunately, he was not hurt that much. In the early 2000s, there were plans to remake The Omen. Many people believed that it was a bad idea because of everything that was connected to the original film. They believed that making another film from the same concept could mean more harm. And sure to say, what happened with the second film also was not that good. Actor Pete, who played the father in the film, tragically lost his brother. He was playing poker with his friends and he received 3 sixes and then dropped dead. A scene featuring Liv Schreiber that was shot on over 13,500 feet of film suddenly burst into flames in the film processing lab. Behind the scenes cameras filming a documentary about this movie also experienced technical difficulties, including one camera suffering a minor explosion. Even the cameras that were capturing behind-the-scenes film also experienced similar problems, with one camera even bursting into flames. The sudden death, strange occurrences and technical failures that were all over this movie made people think that something was wrong. It is safe to say that The Omen didn't just create a successful franchise, it became something of a dark legend in the world of Hollywood. It's a warning that perhaps some stories should just not be told. If you haven't watched these two films yet, I would highly recommend you watch them. And if you already have, do let me know what you think. A big thank you to all my fellow listeners who have been listening to all my episodes. Thank you so much. Your listens, your support means a lot. If you love my podcast, if you love the stories that I put out, then please do follow me on whichever podcasting platform you're listening from, and please do leave a rating. It will really help me a lot. You can listen to me on other platforms including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and any other podcasting platform. If you are in India, you can always listen to my podcast on Gaana or JioSaavn. If you love to listen to strange and mysterious stories, then follow me on Instagram and YouTube where I put out reels on such stories. These are completely different from the ones that I put out on my podcast, so do follow me on them. If you love travel, you can follow me on my travel channels. I'll link them also in the description. Until then, stay kind and stay safe out there.